It's time for a joint session. You know I love it when we have a joint session, Marcus. A joint session of the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I'm Ray Koop.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And we're joined by our dear friend, Buzz Knight, the founder of the Taking a Walk podcast. It's going to be fun. Look, we have a confluence of our two podcasts. It's almost like taking a walk or an imbalanced walk and the Imbalanced History together. I'm Ray Koob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And joining us on his and our podcast is my old dear friend, Buzz Knight, the creator of the Taking a Walk podcast. And for our gang who don't know about that, tell them about what your podcast is about.
It is literally taking the concept of comedians and cars getting coffee and flipping it a little upside down in my direction. So it's me walking and talking with musicians, industry insiders, authors, other crazy people, many of them virtual as well, but we're taking a walk virtually down memory lane with a lot of different people.
You make it sound so passe, but listen to the list, gang, who are the most recent guests on Buzz's podcast. Producer Jack Douglas, one of my true heroes, and a great podcast episode with him. Lucy, the daughter of Joe Walsh. You had Steve Lerman and Tom Werman.
Yeah, I just love how it sort of worked off of each other, and it had nothing to do with each other either.
And you had Kenny A, the other Kenny A. Kenny Aronoff, one of the great drummers of all time on just a few weeks ago. We're pod friends with Kenny A, Kenny Aronson, who's been on with us a couple times now.
Kenny is Mr. Boundless Energy and Enthusiasm, and as you know, has some great leadership skills baked in there as well.
Isn't that part of what you do with your podcast? That side of things, more than just what the person's known for, their other talents or leadership qualities?
I do gravitate towards that. I'm a nerd about that, I suppose. So it indirectly leads there somehow. Some have a better story than others at it, but all fun.
And in case people are wondering, how do these guys know each other so well? Buzz and I go back to when he was the program director in Danbury, right, at WRKI, I-95, and I was at the FMQB, and we would talk every other week or so about what was going on, what you were listening to.
We would recreate the magic years later when I got involved, thankfully, in Philadelphia, first with WMGK, and then with the great WMMR and the rest of the crew, and that's where I got to run into the notorious Marcus Goldman as well.
Marcus, in between, I was a record dude, and I would go to Boston all the time. Sometimes I would go there for the day, right? And I would always come and see you guys. It's because you had that great air staff at the station in Boston.
WZLX, yeah.
With Carter Allen and others who are the rock stars of radio in Boston. So that was always cool for me. Any guy who's written one or two books about you too, I figure I want to see him once in a while. And always great conversation and talking about what we were doing at the label CMC International with the artist that we had for you.
One of the nicest guys, Carter Allen, without question.
Yeah.
And we had Charles Laquadera, who came over from BCN to work mornings at ZLX. And much of that air staff is still intact, I'm proud to say. Chuck Nolan doing afternoons, Kenny Young over there. So, yeah, we had a really a fun time at that station, and the station to this day is performing real well. I want to hear, though, the history. Which one of you two created this magical podcast called The Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll?
He did it. Oh, wait a minute. That's my natural inclination since Catholic school. Go ahead, Marcus.
I mean, it's really a team effort, and it has been. But I presented the idea to Ray a couple months after he had been let go from MGK. I had looked, and there weren't really that many history podcasts or really musical discussion podcasts that weren't doing what I had in mind. I had a bunch of notes and ideas. I presented them to Ray a little bit, and we started talking back and forth. And then we met for lunch and outlined a whole idea. And then a couple months later, we recorded our first episode, and we've been rolling since then. And it's how it kind of happened. With rock and roll, look at the long history of it. You could even say that it goes back to the classical days, the whole idea of rock and roll and that rebelliousness. But rock and roll as we know it, you know, the term is coined from the African-American slang rock and roll. The discussion is great and it's still ongoing. I know Rocket 88, everybody says, is the first recorded rock and roll song. A fascinating subject, a great song.
V8 motor in this modern design, black convertible top and the gas.
An interesting place to begin, because what spawned from that is pretty incredible, and what we've seen since then and how we've seen the whole rock and roll format grow and change and branch off here and there, and it's just been amazing. And the radio formats that have been developed because of all of these branches of music from the rock and roll family tree is wonderful. You have the oldies, you have the classic rock, you have the alternative.
Yeah, you have classic alternative now too, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have so many, you know, branches, and it's a great story that needs to be told.
You know, I'm wondering, Buzz, you're on the inside of a lot of the discussions in radio all these decades. What's it like now for people who are trying to catch the tiger by the tail, if you will? You know, the thing constantly moves, what people want and need from radio. And what's it like now on the inside trying to figure that out versus like 25 years ago, say?
Well, this will shock you both, but if we take us back 25 years ago, the importance of personalities connecting with an audience and engaging with an audience was really important then. You guys are excellent at it from both of your careers and what you do with this podcast of yours. Fast forward to today, even though there's been a lot of radio folks who have lost work and been downsized, particularly personalities, there's also this, you know, conundrum, I think, in the boardrooms, because they scratch their head and they go, wait a minute, we know our secret sauce is our people and our personalities and the stories that they can tell. Maybe we made some of the wrong decisions along the way. So the oddity of the situation is many folks know what drives an audience to love these great radio stations we've talked about. They just can't figure out how to adapt to the times, you know.
And that's why we show up and go to work every day, ladies and gentlemen, of what we do. I mean, for me now, it's like a part-time thing. You're doing your thing, and the idea of taking a walk while you're doing an interview is kind of a neat thing. And we never would have thought about that when we were like younger men, because you couldn't do that without all kinds of equipment. Now you could actually do it with just, you know, a couple handhelds.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, look, the phone is with us wherever we are.
Yep.
So that's obviously a tool to our advantage. So I think the possibilities with, you know, podcasts and technology are pretty amazing. I tell you what, I can't help when I hear the show that you guys do, and I called it a show. It's a podcast, but I called it a show. I can't help but listen to you guys and your camaraderie and your great storytelling and your great interviewing skills and think, man, there's a place for this that is even beyond podcasting. I really believe that.
Well, thank you, man. That means a lot. You know, you see and hear a lot of this stuff and a lot of radio. So Marcus and I aren't really thinking that way, but maybe we should be thinking that way, bro.
I still think there's a place for that in radio.
There's and a place for us. Somewhere a place for us. I'm sorry. That could happen.
No, where is it? If you look at what Pierre Robert is doing on middays at WMMR and the way he connects with the audience and he connects with the artists we play, It's pretty magical. It's
why he's the Pied Piper of Philadelphia, no doubt.
And even in radio in general, his ability and his talent and his skills pulls everybody together as a connector, or as a connection vortex for everybody to connect. It's pretty incredible. And that is the magic of what radio is.
My name is Pierre Robert, and I am a DJ on the radio, playing rock and roll records and CDs and computers. And
Pierre is a legend in Philadelphia, and he is completely rock and roll. He really lives the lifestyle. He is the heart of WMMR. That's Pierre.
So you got to keep your eyes on the road, but people are calling, people are texting. You've got to keep all these gadgets ready. You've got to check things off, and then you've got to do buttons. And, you know, if all else fails, you've got to ring the gong to wake yourself up.
What he brings when he covers concerts, it's the connection.
And if there was more of that, I think there'd be more of an understanding between talent and management on those things. But that's a whole other discussion. The biggest thing is still trying to find those gems who are out there, people who have all the potential and just need a chance to screw up in public for a while and get better, right? There are places where they work early in their career near major markets, or people who remember people used to have a U-Haul, they'd buy one of those trailers and just take it with them everywhere they went because they moved so much, Buzz.
We would often say to people when they moved into town, don't buy a house right away. That was years ago we said that. That wasn't even recently. You know, one thing I think we both share as far as our podcasts and going back to Pierre as well is our own different, unique appetite for diverse styles of music. I mean, here you guys can run the gamut from the great Annie Haslam from Renaissance, who I think I told you, Ray, might have been my first interview that I ever did in my career as well, to, you know, your Led Zeppelin work on the podcast, to, you know, just the span of diverse musical styles and eras that you guys really cover. And that's one of the things that I like. I like to say on Taking a Walk, we're showcasing everybody from new artist or independent artist or recently signed artist or new artist on the horizon. We had Adam and Locook Connie on, who I know you guys know from your neck of the woods, to, you know, a Hall of Famer, you know, such as Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers, you know.
Now, what was that like talking to a living walking legend?
Well, unfortunately, it was virtual, so it was not the walk, but it was incredible just hearing his fierce appetite for the road.
Still,
I mean, it's a different incarnation of the band, and this is shared across, and I know you've seen this as well with your guests. I mean, you know, I used to sometimes think, my God, don't they have enough money? Why aren't they, you know, just enjoying their life? It's a passion and a love for their audiences.
As long as they can do it, because sometimes, you know, talent fades. The ability to sing like you did when you were 50 or 55 fades.
Yeah, so I think I have a greater respect for that maybe than I initially had.
Who would you say out of all the musicians who've been on your podcast was the most fun?
Well, I mean, Jorma Kalkinen, who is just, you know, at 84 or whatever, is so vibrant and, you know, loving creating and just, you know, the embodiment of all of that. Loved Adam, back to Locook Connie, Justin. We were in South Philly. I know that shocks you as well. That was a lot of fun. And then I always will come back to the dear friend and greatest keyboard player maybe in my life that I've witnessed, Bill Payne from the band Little Feat.
Oh, Billy just turned 75 the other day, our buddy.
Love him. How about you guys? Who was most fun for you?
It's hard to say who was the most fun. There's some that have been very, very special. authors mostly, Preston Lauterbach, because he co-wrote a story or helped Robert Johnson's half-sister tell the story of her experience with Robert Johnson, and it kind of filled in the holes of that 18 months that he sold his soul to the devil. Pretty fascinating, and it was wonderful to learn something completely new. And to this day, that episode and that interview is still one of my favorites. I don't know. How about you, Ray?
First off, about that episode, we'd put out Robert Johnson and the Progenitors, two episodes. And then we came across Preston in this book. We were just blown away. And the episode came out so great because of all the stuff Mark has said and more. That was pretty special. But it's fun when one of your rock and roll heroes or rock and roll Hall of Famer comes on and just kind of hangs out. That has happened quite often to our amazement, because we don't put on a lot of like, hey guys, so tell us all about everything. We just kind of hang out and talk to people, and sometimes good stuff comes out, and sometimes it's just fun talking about the new record or whatever's going on.
Did anybody ever seek you out after the interview and say, man, when I open my mouth about fill in the blank love affair or whatever, please take that out? Did anyone ask you that?
Yes. Yes. Or what's that? What was that bit? Upon further review.
Yes, one time.
That's really only one time. But it's always fun to find out what people are really thinking. And maybe you find out a couple stories behind the scenes, things you didn't know about. And fun on top of that just makes it all the better. And that's one of the things about podcasting, because it gets loose and sometimes things come out.
We did have one experience that really touched me in a different way after we did the episode on the Plasmatics about 2 weeks later from guitarist Wes Beach. And he said he thanked us for doing the episode. And he's like, hey, you guys were pretty accurate with what you did. You missed these two things in the timeline and they were off. And he corrected them for us, which was amazing. And then he thanked us for doing the episode. And then I responded to him and asked him if we caught the feel and the vibe of who the Plasmatics were and how they wanted to make people really uncomfortable. And he said that we did a good job doing that. And I think that was really important, just because of the fact that I think we do our best work when we capture the essence of who those bands and that music is. So
is and or are, whatever it is. That's exactly right.
Well, it's obvious you guys have a respect for the people that you're sitting down with and having on, which I think immediately puts guests at comfort and ease so they can be revealing, right?
Last year, we got to talk to Denny Lane. He was getting ready to go out and do what turned out to be his final tour. And he was very frank with us about his own situation when it came to COVID and things like that, including talking to us about the phone call he got from McCartney about it. But more than that, it was just great to talk to him about all the different phases of his career and get his take on all that stuff. Not thinking that it might be the last time, you know, we'd talk to him. That was pretty special to me.
More Walking with Buzz after this quick break.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Well, Marcus, the seasons are changing and the board is changing at Crooked Eye, because you know what happens. You always have your standards there on the left side. If you look at it on social media, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, their pictures lay it out very clearly for you what they've got. So
keep your eye on that, sure. But on the right side of the board, that's where the spring ales and the new stuff that Jeff's been working on starts coming out and making its way into your glass. Right there at the bar at Crooked Eye Brewery in the heart of Hapro, pouring the cure for over 10 years now, just celebrating their 10th anniversary. The party's still going on over there. You know that, man, right?
The party never stops at Crooked Eye, with live music, great entertainment, with just things happening at Crooked Eye, the great beers, the great drinks. It never stops.
And get that Salty Vets barbecue on select nights. You can find out about everything going on at Crooked Eye Brewery on their Facebook and other social media accounts. And thanks to them always for sponsoring us here on the podcast. Always a friend to be made when you make it Crooked Eye.
I got to tell you, I had Paul Rogers on from Career Spanning, obviously, Free, Bad Company, The Firm, and I'm leaving about probably five other bands out. His wife accompanied him on the interview because he had, over the years, recently had some health issues, so she's just there to kind of be a companion during the interview. But they were so sweet together, and he would sing along, like, you know, out loud to a lot of the things he was talking about from the catalog. He would just like sing some of it. So that was an extra bonus. And then 2 weeks later, lo and behold, I get a card in the mail. His wife had asked for my address, and I get the sweet thank you card, which was, wow, you know, like, just touched me so incredibly, because the interview was great enough, but it was just an added sweet gesture, you know.
You know, I think he's like that. When I was working at the record label, I had a band in a chili cook-off in Richmond, and Paul was on at the end of the day, and just bouncing around, ran into him, and turned out he was like a really great guy. We ended up doing a live album with him, and he was so appreciative of what we did to try to get it played that send over like an autographed glass framed copy of the cover, that kind of stuff, the same kind of thing. And he's just really a great guy. And I feel, and Marcus, we've discussed this ad nauseum, it's almost a rock and roll crime that Bad Company at least isn't in that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame out there in Cleveland, because that band alone makes him eligible, I think.
Without question. Oh my God. I mean, that's incredible to even think about them not being, you know, being in, you know.
See, that's the difference between if it had been in Philly or in Cleveland. We'd be like, Bad Company, first, second round, they're in.
Different Dio mentality. And Sabbath would have made it in the first round if the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was in Philly also, just saying.
There you go, exactly.
We're just hanging and talking with our buddy Buzz Knight on both of our podcasts this week.
So who do you guys have coming up around the corner? And then secondly, who is on your wish list here that you really want to get?
We have Susie Ronson coming up, and she's got a new book out called Me and Mr. Jones, her time with David Bowie and the Spiders from Mars, how the whole fashion came together, how the haircuts came together, how she met Mick Ronson, how he was involved in the music. She was involved in some of the crazy things that happened on stage that shocked the shit out of people during that early 70s period of Bowie and the Spiders. It is such a cool, different perspective, and it is well told by Susie.
It's pretty insider stuff, and she's not afraid to talk about it.
I love it.
We're working on a number of different topics that kind of evolve as we get closer to actually recording them. We want to catch up with our friend Harvey Holiday from Oldies Radio here in Philly. Because he's such a great Dylanologist, we want to talk with him about Blonde on Blonde. Our old friend Phil Niccolo has gotten into the vinyl production business with some of our old friends from Philly. And want to get him in and talk with him. And other overdue episodes, we have a whole stack of them. That's the thing, we were wondering that first time we went to the bar, Marcus and I sat down, we were wondering, you wonder if we'll ever get through this list. You know, if we get through this list, it'd be good, right? And here we are. You know, there's still a couple from that list left, right, Mark?
There are quite a few from that list left. Divergent topics have come up, and then we've had these interviews. We've had these opportunities to speak with people that have come up, not only through the podcast, but through the Pantheon Podcast Network, which is where we are on as well. So we've had some really, really cool opportunities to look at other aspects of rock and roll history that we hadn't even thought about or that weren't even on our radar. So to learn, to be able to read a great book and to be able to talk with the author or somebody involved in that as well is so wonderful, because you always learn more than what's in the book.
I know you guys had Joel Selvin on.
Yeah.
Right?
That story's hardcore, man. If you want to read a book that makes you feel uncomfortable, that is a book to read. It is a great read, but God, it makes you feel uncomfortable. It really does a great job making you feel his mental illness. Joel did a great job telling a story that had not been told before.
Yeah, Drums and Demons, the story of Jim Gordon, which when you think about this, and Joel has said this, he may have said this with you guys, he said the music industry accepts, you know,
all kinds of shit,
drug addicts and all kinds of people messed up, but mental health, they run the other way, which I think was a stark comment and a really necessary comment to be out there. He mentioned, I think, there was only two people once Jim Gordon became incarcerated who had the decency to stay connected with him. I know one of them was Jackson Browne. Unfortunately, I forget who the other one was.
Well, I think he said one of the Osmond brothers was the only one to stand up for him in court.
Woo. Yes, unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, I made sure that I said out loud when we were speaking with Joel that I was very disappointed in the music industry for doing what they did and the way they treat mental illness. It's just flabbergasting, because maybe a breakdown, a complete detachment could not have been prevented, but maybe his mom would have been able to live out a full life had more people been involved and more people not looked the other way. Dude was one of the greatest drummers to ever sit on a kit in the history of rock and roll. He's up there with Bonham and all of the greats.
And like so many other people, I think most people who've read this book find the rest of the story before the murder. They get that there's no story after, but a lot of people, including people like me who followed his career and was as shocked as anyone, never heard anything else ever until now. And that's why Selvin gets big ups with us.
He lets it loose.
But yeah, what he did is a serious crime. There's no doubt about it. And that will never be minimized or taken lightly in any way. It's horrible and horrific and awful, everything about it. But we could have done better.
And it would, you know, be wonderful if this became a more serious initiative in and around the music industry to really pay attention to this.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand. It's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in you.
I think we owe it to each other in the business, you know?
There are a few organizations that have been started by some of the younger musicians, like Jonathan Davis of Korn is very active in mental health and mental health for musicians. So there are organizations out there.
It's getting it out of the darkness that's really key, you know?
Speaking of getting things out of the corners and out into the light, just when we thought we really couldn't come up with anything else to do with the podcast, and we've got plenty more episodes and things to do, we just launched, believe it or not, on Live 365 Buzz, the Imbalanced History Channel. And I think it's what the world really needs, the Imbalanced History Channel. It's a Dark Doc Media production.
Be Alive 365.
It's another episode of the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
And we've got a few episodes up there, more adding all the time. It's one of those things we've been talking about lately about which episodes to put out when and that kind of stuff. And some of the stuff we were talking about here with you today, but out of 350 episodes, you get a choice, you know?
Congratulations. That's not a small feat to have that many episodes.
Nope. Takes a lot of work, as you know, putting a podcast together. Are there any people you'll be taking a walk with on your podcast in the near future that you want to talk about?
Eugene Hoots, I believe I'm pronouncing his last name, from the hardcore punk band Go Go Bordello. He was so amazing. It just energy and intensity and good nature and just a love and vigor for being out there. So he's going to come out in an episode in a couple of weeks, and then to completely take as dramatic a turn as you possibly could. I have a gentleman whose name is Ricky Riccardi, who is the curator of the Louis Armstrong Museum in Corona, Queens. And I was fortunate to be with him walking through Louis's house, which is still intact. Each room looks the same. There's audio that's part of each room. Nobody thinks about going to this museum, unfortunately, because it's right near LaGuardia Airport. It's out there. But I say, if you have a chance to visit that museum and to visit the house, highly recommend it. So we take a turn from hardcore punk to Louis Armstrong on the Taking a Walk podcast.
I have to go to that museum. I absolutely have to go check out that museum. That sounds amazing. My wife and I both love Queens, so we have no problem taking the train up to Queens, cruising around, and then checking out the Louis Armstrong Museum. That sounds amazing. And his influence on the early days of rock and roll can't be discounted either.
Oh, my God. And he was, you know, not only a star in music, he was somebody who forged a way, obviously, in terms of a time when, you know, he was out there, that it was, you know, certainly his race and and the issues that were there, his acting career as well.
Broke through a lot of things, a lot of barriers that were doubled in front of him, too.
Incredible. And apparently what would happen, he was a road warrior. So they have some pictures at the museum after he'd been out on the road for many months, when he and the band came back in their bus and parked it outside the house, all the kids from the neighborhood would come on by, and Louis would buy them all ice cream and just hang out with them and just kind of just bask in the glory of being around their energy and their love for him. It's a priceless picture.
That's a way to recharge really quickly. Yeah. Kids have that magical power.
Yep.
Yeah, good to be home. That's how you know, right?
Exactly.
We're hanging with Buzz Knight here on a joint session of his podcast, Taking a Walk, found everywhere. Oh, tell us about your new podcast on your network that you started.
So I have this other podcast I produce. It's called Music Save Me, and it's about the power of music from a healing perspective and what it means from a musician standpoint and certainly their fan standpoint. It's hosted by Lynn Hoffman, who is a dear friend, also has worked at A&E and VH1, and she does voiceover work now and worked on the radio in Boston. And we're about 12 episodes into the podcast right now. We started with Winona. Our second episode, we were fortunate to have Jelly Roll.
Somebody save me, me from myself. Has been so long living in hell. They say my lifestyle is bad for my health. It's the only thing that seems to help. All of this drinking and smoking is hopeless, but feel like it's all that I need.
We had the story of Chad Tepper, who is an artist who really has such a heart for putting out good energy from his life, which was so tough, living homeless essentially till he was 6 years old. Country artist named Walker Hayes as well. So we're building on that one. Just recorded an episode for that podcast and of Taking a Walk with Pat Monahan from Train.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head. She acts like summer and walks like rain. Reminds me that there's a time to change.
We also had on The Music Saved Me, the great Brent Smith from Shinedown, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. That's one of those moments. I know you guys hit these moments. You know, when you run into somebody like Brent or so many of these other folks, I stop and I just go, God, I'm so lucky to be doing this and to connect with these really great people. Yep. You know,
I know what you mean.
Their music has become quite motivational and inspirational to a lot of people. So mad respect to Shinedown for really, really making a difference to a lot of people. That's what music does. That's what music's supposed to do. Dave Grohl said it. There might be 80,000 people in the stadium singing My Hero, but 80,000 people are singing it for 80,000 different reasons. And that is power. That is connection. And Shinedown has been very successful in connecting with their audience through radio, through streaming, through their live shows, which are fantastic.
They really are one of America's great rock bands when you think about it, you know.
No two ways about it. And in Philly, they connected strong with one of the nicest guys in Philly radio, Brent Porsche, my man BP.
Absolutely.
The fact that those guys are that tight doesn't surprise me at all.
I love that.
Yeah, BP's awesome.
Well, guys, this has been so much fun. I love what you call it, Ray, a joint session.
Sorry, I didn't have one lit.
Joint session or a crossover.
I love it. This has been an absolute blast, Ray and Marcus. I just can't tell you how grateful I am to be on this joint session. I love it, a joint session.
Yes.
It's been nice talking to you too, Buzz.
Always good to see you, pal.
Congratulations on your podcast, and any listener of Taking a Walk is going to love the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I highly recommend it. Do check it out.
Back at you, pal, and you're going to find all the connections, the links and all that to Buzz's stuff too inside this episode, wherever you're finding it.
See you guys.
Excellent.
See you, man. Dude, what a fun ride with Buzz. I think we covered pretty much how we all know each other and got connected, and a whole lot of other things that were a whole lot of fun on this Taking an Imbalanced Walk joint session.
Yeah, it was really fun hearing about some different aspects of radio from his perspective and how it ties into the history of rock and roll, and how when he began his radio days, just like you and myself, it was a different animal and how it's changed. So it was fun to talk about that, how the music industry has changed and how the two are tied together. And that includes the technology, the digital age and all of that. You know, it's always learning, man. It's always fun to have these conversations, and Buzz is a wealth of knowledge.
Well, wrapping up another episode from the Dark Doc Media Studio, sponsored by Crooked Eye Brewery in Hapro. I'm Ray Koob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And this has been the Taking an Imbalanced Walk joint session of the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.